Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, coming at you 3 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content brought to you by Built Bar.
Oh, and today, full of it.
Full of Built Bar. And today we have a very special guest.
It's Sabrina Merchant from SB Nation.
Oh yeah. Welcome, Sabrina. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. So nice to see you.
I know.
It's been a while.
And it's been since the Avery Bradley revenge game,
I believe. The Avery Bradley revenge game.
We all saw each other.
But we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with Twitter Tuesday. We got some fabulous questions sent in ahead of time. If you ever want a chance to get your question featured on the show, be sure to send those over to @LockedOnClips, @CharlesMockler, sporadically @WillUpdike is on there. But you know,
sporadically is generous, I would say.
It's very generous at this point. Man, if there's not sports on, I don't know what I'm doing on there. But thank you to everybody who sent those in ahead of time. And then we're going to be doing a pod favorite. Some Lou Will moments.
Oh yeah.
We're going to talk about our favorite moments of the season ever. Talk about like what his potential could look like as far as usage and production in the playoffs. And then a debate that I feel like we've been talking about more and more recently, which is what is Lou Williams' place in the Hall of Fame, if any? And then we're going to be wrapping up some shavings. There's some new news from the Players Association. And then a great anniversary of a historic moment in Kawhi's career. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so welcome to Twitter Tuesday. Sabrina, if you're unfamiliar, people from Twitter send us questions. And then we make fun of them if they're bad and answer them if they're good. So this one, I just put this one here. Doc Rivers mentioned that they have a celebrity Zoom each week for their Clippers hangs or whatever. He said, I don't want to throw any names out, but we've had some amazing names talk to our team, and they're all on. What celebrities are on these chats?
I'm pretty sure Sean McVay is one of them.
He has to be.
It has to be, right? Because I think Doc talked to the Rams, so there's got to be like some quid pro quo thing going on there where, you know,
do you consider
I talk to
Sean
your team.
McVay a celebrity in Los Angeles?
Yes. Only because wow. You added in Los Angeles.
That's fair. Yeah, for sure. I think for some reason, I feel like Cedric the Entertainer's hanging out there a lot. Hmm.
Who's Doc friends with?
The Farley brothers, for sure. Like, he's friends with one of the Farleys.
Okay.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he's friends with one of the Farleys, which I don't know if it's because of his time in Boston or what the deal is there, because they're big in Massachusetts. But I remember when Green Book won Best Picture, someone asked him about it, and he was like, oh
the Farley brothers.
Farley brothers, yeah. Okay. And I'm like...
I was like, Chris Farley?
Dude, that would be that's a duo right there.
The Farley brothers. Sorry. Yes,
I was about to say, like, he was made a big deal about Green Book. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
he was
idea.
Like glad for his friend. And I was like, huh.
Interesting. Doc's been stuck on you.
Position.
Yeah, I hope the celebrity chats are good. Sabrina, you and I were kind of talking about, we missed and didn't talk about this, Will, that the rookies just broke up with their girlfriends right before quarantine started.
Oh, nice. So, like, do you think they had a conversation with each other about it before?
I mean, they got to be pretty close, right? They played together last year.
Yeah.
Florida State, too. Yeah.
Definitely.
Didn't they room together, too, in college? Am I
at FSU, yeah.
How did they room together? Wasn't Terrence a senior and, like, Thea freshman?
He was his vet. Well, because I think Terrence was his vet, or whoever was the senior was, like, their vet. So, they're, like, it worked out perfectly.
Interesting. Yeah. It's a tough time to be out a girlfriend.
Yeah, especially as a rookie in Los Angeles who maybe doesn't have to play as much, so you have a little more free time. These rookies, I should say. Oluwakandi69, fantastic Twitter handle there. Surprised that one wasn't taken. By Michael Oluwakandi, actually, now that I think about it. Asks how the new 3-month LA County stay-at-home order will impact our return to hoops. LA County reportedly, with all certainty, will keep stay-at-home in place through July, it was reported today. I don't know. I think it still keeps it the same.
Yeah. I don't think hoops are coming back to California. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. In terms of games or?
Yeah. Only because I don't think they're going to be playing in California, right? Like if they do play, it'll be Disney World or, you know.
So are you a fan of like the neutral site where all like basketball is just contained into a.
I'm totally down with the neutral site. If the players like it, I'm on
board. Makes the most sense. Like, it's the only thing that I can think of that could actually return to basketball. I have to agree. I don't think that this changes the start date for basketball at all.
Especially in LA, because the specificities are that. Yeah.
If you thought that basketball was going to resume when the original stay at home was supposed to end at May 14th, I mean, you're much more optimistic than I am. And I'm sorry that that disappoints you.
They're finding out right now from you, and you're bumming everyone out.
I don't think it affects the timeline that much. I still don't think that we're going to see basketball with fans at it this year. Don't
2022, I think, is like when
2022.
I think that's when it comes back. Oof.
I don't know if they can afford that, like, just from a revenue perspective. Mm-hmm. But
there'll be new streams.
There will not be fans at attending basketball events this year.
Right. Yeah, I think the practice facility stuff isn't going to change. Like, I know Doc said that they were probably opening up this week.
It's supposed to be Friday.
Yeah, so I guess I don't think that's affected by this, right? Because it's still, four people in the facility, or four players tops, like that. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think it changes much. In my opinion, I mean, I always assumed that this was coming.
I am just happy that Keith Smith's Disney World idea is truly just becoming maybe a reality.
it's so exciting, really.
It's so smart, too. Like, it's such a good idea that you're like, yeah, this makes
all the sense. You're like, yeah, all the courts are there and they have hotels.
And food and police.
It's like a private business. You can close it off to everybody else. Not like Vegas where people actually live there.
Yeah. Totally. Well, and it like gives it an Olympic vibe, but way better.
Yeah, because there's only one sport.
As opposed to the last Olympics when the basketball players were all just like shoved off on the yacht separate from everyone else.
Oh, yeah, there was like leaks. And like, yeah, or that's the Winter Olympics, I guess. That was not good. Kind of going into the practice facility question, Stuart Quinn, who I'm hoping his friends call him Stu Q, wonders what coach-player combos would we want to see if the practice facilities open up for only one player and one coach at a time, like Toronto. So like Pat and Sam Cassell, Sham and Doc, which I think is such an interesting pairing that this person threw out, and then Kawhi and the janitor because he doesn't need any coach.
I mean, obviously if Kawhi goes, it's going to be Castleberry because that's his only friend, right? Yeah. That's got to be. I don't think Doc is allowed, actually. Head coaches are not allowed at these workouts.
Oh, yeah.
But Sham and Doc, what do you?
That seems horrible for Sham.
Why does Sham even need a coach there?
And what is Doc going to do?
I guess a point guard to, like, you know, get him the ball off of, like, you know, when he's running. Yeah, but
I think he would just yell at him. Like, with how Sham has been playing, I think it would just not be good for him.
I like the PG Cassell combination.
Oh, PG Cassell would be good. Yeah. I like Doc. I mean, if it could be happening, I like Doc and Bev, but I like the Bev and Sam Cassell one too.
Yeah, Sam is good with everybody.
I was going to say Sam plus anyone is pretty much a winning combo.
Sam and Lou
just kind of hanging out. I think I love the idea of the most.
That might be the only people who show up because they're just like, I just want a different place to hang out.
is Lou in LA right now?
He got delivery from Magic City for lunch the other day, so I do not think so. I gleaned that off his Instagram.
Yeah, I think Pat is in Houston too, right?
He was in Chicago the other day.
He was in Chicago the other day. Oh, that's right. He was in Chicago.
Or his school.
Yeah.
Trez is definitely back home because Trez was working out in the backyard. Like, Trez was like pulling that tree down.
Yeah. So I guess it would just have to be like, you know, Terrence and Fee coming in.
I really hope it's just the rookies because, like,
bring Natalie in, you know?
Bring in as many people as you can so the rookies can get some kind of on court, in game, anything scenario because that's what they both need. Like, that's what I'd want to see. I don't think Kawhi's going in.
No, I think he's got to have a court at his own house.
A, he has his own court, and he's not risking this shit. The guy who's worried
about
his health.
Is Kawhi susceptible to coronavirus like the rest of us are? Is that?
I was going to say, I don't know. He might be impervious to any sort of
I just assumed
infection.
He was above this.
Yeah. I think it's like the thing where it's like when something is so nice, the smallest thing can make, like the smallest little thing, like if a hair gets in like the nicest ball bearing or something like that, like it can just like mess it up. I think he's maybe worried about it. Like, I'm sure the Clippers are.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of doing whatever he wants. Do you think
Are you telling Kawhi to please not come to practice facilities? Ooh. So like maybe Steve is texting him like, hey,
I
man,
know
I,
that
I don't know.
They said that Jerry West is not coming.
Hell no. And then there's the other coach who's
that
not
other Armand
not
Hill.
Talked about. Yeah. Armand, he's like, Armand's not coming.
Anybody like 60 plus, they're just not allowing, which I think is the right idea.
For sure. Damn.
What about Ty? Do you think Ty's coming?
Oh,
in?
I forgot about Ty.
He might be, dude.
Do you think, what if Ty and Tibbs just come in together?
I think he's prepping to move to Brooklyn,
together?
Isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, what is Tibbs? Tibbs is definitely in LA, so you think Tibbs is just feeding
He's still Ty? On Doc's couch.
Weird. Yeah.
He quarantining
he
together.
Like, is that weird to think about?
Tibbs and man would be a really funny combination to come in.
Like weird that. Combo. Yeah,
that would be good. We were just talking about, Will, we were wondering what Boylan's thoughts, because we were saying how Doc handles everything so politically with what he says, like he's concerned about it. We were wondering what we think Boylan's thinking about all the shelter in place, guys not being able to come into the facilities. I hope they debate it next time we play the Bulls.
I'm sure Zach LaVine's really happy to be in Washington away from the Bulls practice facility.
Sure, oh, yeah.
I'm sure Boylan like wants to Zoom, but just can't figure it out in any way. Will, this last question, I feel like it's kind of a shot at you from at Clipper Mitch. Wonders, what if we drafted MPJ instead of Rome and were able to trade MPJ instead of Shea for PG? A lot of loops being taken. I will
say. Okay. So I feel like I've talked about it enough on this podcast, but like I was never a fan of drafting MPJ. He didn't release his medicals to any team. Like I think not taking him was a fine thing to do. And like in the scenario where we draft Michael Porter Jr. instead of Jerome, he doesn't play that year. So I don't know how you figure that MPJ plus Gallo is enough to get Paul George. I just don't see it.
It's the five picks.
Yeah, I think it's the five picks. No, I like this question too because it's like, A, I like that they think that MPJ now is maybe as good as Shea.
That's absurd to me. That's
no,
absurd
I know.
To me.
I still think that there's a reasonable opinion that MPJ's ceiling is higher than Shea's. I think that's potential, but like, it's all potential.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's all MPJ is.
Yeah.
Is pure potential.
There's Whereas no Rome, way you could trade him instead of Shea in that package because that, like, that's what the Thunder wanted, right? Like, they wouldn't even settle for Shamit.
They needed a point guard.
Yeah, they have CP3.
They needed three point guards.
I'll tell you, here's how I measure it. Who has more game-winning three-pointers in their career, Jerome Robinson or Michael Porter Jr.? Jerome.
Touche. Touche.
One to nothing. So far, the ceiling seems a little higher for Jerome.
Jerome's going to be great. All right. He's fine.
I just love that the Wizards are like this landing spot for all of the Lakers and Clippers rejects.
Yeah. And they seem to be going okay. Like, we thank everybody for their questions, even you, Oluwakandi69.
Especially you, Oluwakandi69. Yeah, thanks for always coming through.
If you ever want to send questions, send them to @LockedOnClips. Just inundate @WillUpdike with questions. He would love to answer from beyond Twitter when no sports happening. And then, of course, my account @CharlesMockler. Sabrina, do you want them to tweet you too, or are you holding on?
I just have to come back on and answer your questions, I guess.
Okay. That's a good thing. Yeah. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking Lou Will and just how fantastic he is. But first, oh man, Will, you like eating.
I do. But you know what? Sometimes it's hard to eat healthy.
It is hard to eat healthy.
Until I found Built Bar, let me tell you, Built Bars are tasty. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar with 16 amazing flavors, and the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. Hoo-wee. Mm-hmm. And Built Bars are healthy. I told you eating healthy was a problem. They're great for the health-conscious guy or gal. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, which... That's like my motto. Put that on my tombstone. Lose or maintain weight while indulging.
He died
in
losing weight
treat.
While indulging in delicious treat. That's a solid obituary.
So go ahead and check out Built Bars. You should go to builtbar.com. They are a sponsor of this show. And if you use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. Check them out. Anybody who supports the show, you should support too. Come on.
Okay, welcome to Lou Will Moments. It is Lou Will Week on Clippers Twitter. They're just kind of randomly picking these weeks. It feels like at whim. Sometimes it feels like they're only 4 days long, but it's still a good time. Lou Will, I guess we can just jump into it. What's your favorite Lou Will moment of the season or just ever, Sabrina?
My favorite Lou Will moment of the season came against Houston, that run at the end of the game in November, I want to say, when he hit like those two threes, Clippers basically had to play like a perfect final minute to beat the Rockets. Hell of a moment. Lou Will moment of ever, probably when he dropped 50 points on the Warriors 2017-18. I don't know what it is. The Warriors just have no answers for Lou Will, like, ever.
I think he's too confident and brazen in his abilities because they're not used to someone on their level of confidence. And
I mean, 2017-18 team is like one of the greatest basketball teams ever assembled. And Clippers and Lou Will just like go up at there. They're like 50 points, 20-point win. No big deal.
I think my favorite moment of the season was during the Shake Milton game against the 76ers, which I think would have been – that was after all the athletic stuff, and I think that just would have added fire to whatever outside stuff was happening in terms of the Clippers' performance. There's like 3 minutes left or 3:30, and Lou Will just starts hitting every single 76ers defender with the exact same, like, three dribble, super slow hesitation. They do a little jump, and then he, like – it doesn't even look like – it looks like a NBA 2K game when it, like, stops loading. He just, like, slowly slides backwards and then puts up, like, the slowest – he doesn't even jump. And he hits, like, three of those shots. And it's, like, a four-point game, and it's just over. Like, the 76ers, it was just, like – he just did the slowest basketball moves in the world and beat them.
I think my favorite on the season is – I mean, there's a bunch, but I like the – I want to say it was the first time we played the Grizzlies back in November. It was like a two-point win. And there was – it was a Kawhi-less game, but we had Paul George. And Lou Will had like – he had like 13 assists. Hold on. Let me bring it up.
Yeah, that was a like, good one.
Anytime Lou's like firing assists. Those out.
He had like 13 assists, 24 points. Trez had 24. You know, the bench outscored the starters like very handedly.
Love it.
It was just a great performance. And like this, for me, like the Grizzlies series is something that coming into the season I would have thought would have been so inconsequential. But because of that double lunar game that we dropped to Memphis, I just will always think about every game we've played against the Grizzlies in the regular season this year.
Yeah, it's got to be important. Every Grizzlies game feels like a playoff game.
Except when the Clippers just decide not to show up, you know, for a Saturday game.
That sometimes does feel like a playoff game, though, too.
And my favorite Lou Will moment, though, of all time is, I mean, the – first round of the playoffs last year, game two, at Oracle.
It's hard to not pick that one.
Lou willed
us back into that game, no pun intended.
He had some fantastic press conferences that series, too. I don't know if you remember. Someone, like, I can't remember if it was the question about, like, guarding Kevin Durant or if it was a reporter who asked him why he was so much worse at Staples Center than on the road.
Yeah.
And Pat Bev is, like, literally ready to, like, jump down somebody's
murder
throat.
Murder the guy.
Well, it was like, yeah. It's okay.
Pat, it's that might question. Have said next question, right? Was that the next question incident?
Lou and Bev and Trez at the podium post that first round series is also some of the best.
When like, they
those,
did, like,
those pictures are just amazing. It's like
they did like the Lawler catchphrases like one at a time.
Yeah, like bingo. It's so good. Like it's just true like teammate friendship type stuff.
He also named his kid Six, which will never stop being cool to me.
And no one cares. Like, everyone's like, of course he did, because he owns the Sixth Man of the Year award. What does Lou's – I guess we'll do this one quick. Do you think Lou's a Hall of Famer?
No. But really? I also have a higher bar for the Hall of Fame, I think, than the actual Hall of Fame does.
Oh, you're stiffer competition to get it. The Sabrina Merchant NFL or Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah. No, I don't think Lou belongs in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I do, but.
Do you think, like, no six man makes the cut? Like, what about, like, a Ginobili or something?
So, Ginobili has the international career, I think, that helps. And he's also, what, a four-time champion?
Yeah.
3, 5, 7, and 14. Yeah, so, I mean, at this point, right, Lou Williams has he made a conference finals?
He only has the NBA on his basketball resume, which is really difficult for a sixth man.
Right. So, I mean, I he's, you know, one of the greatest bench players of all time, but, like, that also by definition means that he's not a starter, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't, like, other than last year, he doesn't really have any great playoff moments.
I mean, fair. Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. I mean, I love Lou. I think, you know, you can build a lot of good lineups around him, but I don't know about Hall of Fame. It's just,
if he wins a chip,
then, you know, you start to consider things, right? Because great teams.
The chip is like, to me, that's just what every single person, I think, for Lou will. If you don't, it's like, yeah, if you have a chip, okay, that, like.
Yeah, and if he, like, contributes, you know, significantly to that, then.
I think your point is great, too, about, like, I mean, Manu has, like, he has the international career as well, whereas, like, Lou will, it is just all NBA experience. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, in that NBA experience, there's been, like, great performances, and he has definitely, like, shifted what we think of as a bench guard. But I mean, without like the proverbial hardware or whatever, like what, like, is it truly enough to make the Hall of Fame? And I feel like that's a valid answer.
I want him to.
Yeah.
But I'm also
like personality wise.
Oh,
you know, like,
I mean, yeah. Personality.
First ballot, really.
He's all personality, any field Hall of Fame, like not just sports.
He's
just
best hang. Humanity. He's best hang Hall
best
of Fame.
Best hang for sure.
Best or worst, depending on your goal for the hang.
If he was a Hall of Famer, though, do you think that he's in as a Clipper or a Sixer?
Oh, a Clipper.
I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah,
I think a Clipper. Because, I mean, we're assuming that he's making the Hall of Fame because, like, he's adding some hardware,
right?
And
that
would have to be with the Clippers, yeah.
This year or next year.
I just love how, like,
what if he wins the chip in a shortened season?
Again, I just think it matters, like, how he contributes to the playoffs, you know?
For sure. I think that goes perfectly into our next thing about Lou. What does his playoff usage look like?
It's a good question.
I think a lot of it goes with how well Reggie Jackson's playing at some points, for sure. Because we've seen Lou is better when Reggie's out there contributing positively. Obviously, I don't think he's going to continue his Reggie's Jackson streak of what he was playing at before the break started. But like, because both of those guys aren't exactly defensive stalwarts, so they have to be clicking on offense for them to get true run.
Yeah, I think like the first, it's weird, I don't know what the postseason would look like, but I feel like the first two rounds you could get a lot of good use out of Lou Williams.
Just
because
make it easier.
I don't think they have like Dallas or I don't know who the next round would be, like Houston.
OKC. Houston, actually, yeah.
I'm not sure that they have the ability to target Lou Williams like the way you would see LeBron James do that, you know, for example. But
LeBron's scared of Lou. I don't think that would happen at all.
I mean, I feel like the Clippers have like the right defensive ecosystem to like hide him otherwise, and so that makes him incredibly valuable on the other end. But I don't know. I mean, like, I would have thought that Golden State would be the wrong team to, you know,
for
let
sure
Lou go off against, and he was great in that series. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it kind of just like, it's a feel thing, right? Like, if he has it going, you let him go on, you know, later in the game and potentially close it out. If he doesn't, then you have those other options in Pat and potentially Reggie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he averaged like 29 minutes per game in the playoffs last year. I would hope that it would be lower than that. just because, I mean, like, I don't know. Things are, every game is overtime, I think things are going poorly if we need that kind of production from Lou Will on a, like, throughout, you know, every game of a series. But yeah, he's such like a rhythm and tempo guy. It's pretty apparent, I feel like, when that matchup is working. And it's pretty apparent when it's getting exploited or when he's having trouble scoring. So, you know, I mean, Lou Will, he's a guy that, like, we know how he works in this system, and it's definitely matchup dependent, but, like, it's, you know, it's what you see is what you get. And what you get is great, but what you see is what you get.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of thing where you'd have to. Sorry, go ahead, Charles.
Oh, I was saying, I'm not. Yeah, it's just a big question mark. Like, if he, and sometimes I think a lot of it, I get a little worried sometimes because Doc sometimes sticks to his guns when things just aren't going well, especially with Lou sometimes. The heavy usage, because if we just go straight into the playoffs, that's best case scenario for Lou's usage. Because then, like, you know, last year, he was gassed. Him and Gallo were both, like, they had some poor games in the playoffs. Everyone was like, oh, they shot us out of it. It's like, well, they had to shoot so much to get us here in the first place.
Yeah.
That, yeah, they might have hit a wall against this Warriors team with their offense. But yeah, Sabrina, your point about like the first two rounds, I hope he's maybe at 29 in those first two rounds, because it's like that probably means that, you know, we can keep PG, Kawhi, and most of the first string guys lower, or it means maybe Shamit. I hope Shamit gets more minutes too in the playoffs, but
then Lou will, or just
no, just in general, because that would be good for Lou. Yeah, definitely. That's my hot take of the year now. No, yeah, I hope Shamit can somehow figure out, because he would be huge in the playoffs too for Lou.
Yeah, I think Doc sort of showed last year that he was willing to be a little more experimental in the playoffs than he was in the regular season. So I wouldn't expect him to be like fixated on the same rotation game in and game out. He's probably more receptive to like what's happening, what needs to be adjusted. Yeah,
it's going to be – I don't know if the Clippers ride or die with that, with like Lou and the usage and everything, but I hope we don't have to.
29 minutes is a lot.
Yeah, that would be way too much. Let us know what you think about Lou Williams. One of the potentially maybe greatest in terms of personality, absolutely. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking some shavings, the Kawhi shot, how we felt in terms of free agency when it happened, and then a very goofy-sounding Woj bomb. But first, if you like books, but you absolutely hate reading, which is a small section of people.
It's a common problem.
It's a common problem. I hate reading. Just took me so long to figure out how to do it, you know? You guys need to check out Blinkist. Blinkist breaks nonfiction books down, 15-minute snippets. You can fantastic time to crank out some sports books, maybe something historical, learn from past mistakes involving pandemics, perhaps. You can check out Blinkist. They have a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it free for 7 days and save 25% on your new subscription. One more time, Blinkist.com. /NBA free for 7 days, 25% off your new subscription.
Okay. All right. So shavings, on the day that we're recording this, the day before, if you're listening, this is the anniversary of Kawhi's shot versus the 76ers.
Hell yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Well, yeah. Like one of the, I mean, that'll permanently be in Kawhi's highlight reel.
The NBA's highlight reel.
I'm curious as to what everybody's thoughts were, if any, about Kawhi's free agency when that happened.
That's fair. I was pretty bummed. I was like, cool, he's just going to be a Raptor for life. That's cool. that's how I felt 100%.
Yeah, I was sort of the same belief. I thought that the Raptors would have to lose before the conference finals for him to want to leave Toronto. And so he made that shot. And I was like, oh, kind of seems like he's going to stay there.
Yeah, this was cool.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, at that point, I was pretty much like, okay, so the only way he wins now, like the Clippers win in getting him, is if the Raptors win it all. And that's never going to happen.
It's so crazy to think how quickly things changed in that playoffs.
Like
I thought Philly was like done against the Nets. Like they looked so bad.
They looked garbage.
And Toronto looked like crap against Milwaukee, you know?
Yeah. And then there's the Clay.
Everything just changes in an instant. Yeah. I mean, I still think that if Clay Thompson hadn't gotten hurt, that like Toronto wouldn't have won.
I think that's a fair. It's Clay on that.
He won a title. He gets to do what he wants and he chose to come back home. So
yeah. And no one's mad at him. And then finals MVP.
Is the Raptors championship an asterisk championship?
No.
Because I don't think so.
No way.
I don't think so. I was just asking.
Yeah.
The only championships I consider asterisks are the lockout seasons.
Okay.
So I probably would consider this one.
I'm wearing a giant Spurs cowboy hat. And you still got to win it.
It's like there's injuries all the time. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Then, like, I'm not even sure the lockout ones are asterisks because, like, everybody plays the same season. You know,
I gotta win them.
Well, and I don't know. I guess I'm thinking about that now too. Like, is it even harder to come back to a playoffs after not playing a regular season? Like, just from a rhythm perspective or like a reps perspective?
I think for the Clippers, from a reps perspective, it's brutal right now.
Yeah, especially because they were playing so well when this all went down.
They won before the break, I think. With that loss being the Avery Bradley revenge game.
The Avery Bradley revenge game, right? But yeah, they looked really good. I mean, we just kept saying all year, right? Like, just wait till they get healthy, wait till they get some time to play together, and like, maybe they'll only have those 11 games and then we'll have to go right into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be a great 30 for 30. And then to close it out, we're going to be talking about the goofy-sounding Woj bomb. National Basketball Players Association regional representatives started texting NBA players today with a yes or no question. It says will be kept confidential. Do you want to try and play again this season? The union's trying to gauge broader sentiment of its 400-plus players. Out of this came the summit of literally the best basketball players in the league. Apparently, we're on a conference call. It was like CP3, Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron, everybody good. Lillard, they all put their got on their soapboxes and were like, we support this. But like, is this the most vague question for the most serious scenario in the history of the league?
How was there no maybe option? You can't send out a yes, no only. There's got to be a maybe.
There has to be a maybe.
Yeah. It's so weird. I mean, if I'm a player, there's no way I believe this is being kept confidential.
Oh, absolutely.
No chance.
Yeah. Well, and also they have that, like, Jared Dudley retweeted the Woj bomb was like, I want to play.
Yes. So, like, to which Woj was like, yes, one, and yeah. No, zero.
Everyone who wants to play, we're going to know about it. But I think it's going to be those people who it's like, oh, yeah, no, I voted. I'm like, oh, well, what'd you say? And you're like, oh, I got to get out of here, man. I'm like, wait, so like, do you want to go back?
What number do you think the NBA is looking for, like, in terms of, like, affirmation? Like, are they looking for, like, 80-20? Or do you need more than that?
I think you need more than 80-20.
Yeah.
I don't think you need more than 80-20. I think,
30 sounds good.
I think you want to make sure that you're not running into a situation with the organization, the NBA wants to make sure that they're not going to run into a situation with the Players Association, like a lockout or something similar. Mm-hmm. So to avoid a labor dispute. And also, I mean, you have the other factor of like, you also have the owners who I'm sure are more than happy to end the season at this point. So like, I think you need the show of faith that the players are on your side and actually wanting to continue this because like, yeah, if you're an owner right now, it's like, okay, well, there's no way any games are happening at my stadium. I've got all these guys on the
payroll. Your non-playoff team.
To not play any games. So what are we doing here?
Yeah. The cut your losses thing is a good call.
Yeah. It's no accident though that like I assume some no's were coming in and then all of the superstars were like, hey, we want to play.
Everyone shut the fuck up. Yeah. Especially Giannis. It's like, Giannis, you're in the middle of the most historical basketball season maybe anyone's ever had on a team that's, you know, I've been waiting for it. Do you want to stop?
I thought it was interesting that Durant was on the call because like he's come out and said that he doesn't want to play this season.
Yeah,
but it's just sort of like, Durant's I'm Kevin Durant. Like, I have to be in this conversation.
Durant's just like, Durant.
I'm not going to play, but you guys should.
Yeah,
guys
go should. For it. Whatever you, yeah, Durant is the guy who, like, whatever he hears last is just what he's going to be like, yeah. Like, do you guys think it was a Zoom, a Skype, or a call?
I mean, well, we've established it's definitely not a Skype. Like,
yeah, they're not doing Skype.
It's probably a Zoom. Probably a Zoom.
You don't think it's Chris Paul just holding his iPhone with, like, numbers dialed.
Well, isn't there a limit? Aren't there only like 15 people or whatever you can put on a Zoom?
I think so, but he might.
Did they go team by team?
Yeah.
I mean, didn't the players have like a Zoom call with Adam Silver last week? That's 400 plus, right?
15 of them did.
It's definitely not a 15 limit. I've been on bigger Zoom calls than that.
What's the what's like the Electoral College situation with this? And how like a vote, if you play for Atlanta, affects how a vote compared to
Clippers have like, you know, substantially more votes.
Yeah, like Kawhi's vote counts for like, you know, it's like, you know, like a tenth of a
10
vote
from Damian
like
Lee's.
A Jazz player. Like, oh, man. Well, I hope these player Zooms continue. Whatever.
Yeah, I hope with more celebrity guests too.
Yeah, we got to get a list of that. That's got
to
be.
That's so very Doc to just say celebrity guests and just like make you guess.
Also, who is Doc think a celebrity? Like, Doc is like, oh, we got the third best sommelier. They're like, I don't parents fan him here like this doesn't. I mean, anyway,
very famous caddy or something.
Yeah.
Guy Fieri is definitely there.
Dude, Guy Fieri is. Yeah, he probably gets booked. He probably just chooses when teams have Zooms. He's like, you guys want to hang? And everyone's like, yes. Like, he's not playing Animal Crossing. All right, we're talking about Guy Fieri playing Animal Crossing. We're going to have to wrap this episode up. Serena, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, this is great. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, where can these fine listeners who have nothing better to do than listen to a basketball podcast with no basketball find your fantastic work?
Well, I'm on Twitter at SabrinaJM. That's Sabrina with two E's. So, yeah. All my stuff is there.
Yeah. Great, all your stuff. Yeah, you heard her, Sabrina. Thank you again. Friday's episode, Dr. Tarchi is most likely going to be back. He kind of moves in a weird way, but he's probably going to be back. The Clippers will, some of the Clippers will return to practice, we think. So we're going to be hyped slash cautiously optimistic about that. And then, of course, whatever else happens to you now and then in Clipperland. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Yes, day by day, we are getting closer to the Clippers winning the championship for the 1920, or from the 19 to 2027 season, however long this thing takes. You can find us on iTunes. Please leave a review. Spotify, Deezer for all our French music streaming heads out there. I have been Positive Chuck Locklear.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.